Welcome to the SoCal Classic Car Podcast, the exclusive place for coverage of car culture in Southern California and the personalities that drive it. I'm your co-host, Jay Marash. This show is associated with SoCal Classic Car Storage, which provides South OC car lovers the opportunity to secure their vehicles in an environment made just for them. Our two facilities feature advanced security systems, 24-hour video surveillance, and a dedicated members lounge. In addition to storage, our expert sales staff offers consignment services for those looking to sell their cars. For more information, visit us at Laguna Hills or at SoCalCarStorage.com or on Facebook at Facebook.com/SoCalCarStorage. Take it away, Dean.
Thanks, Jay, and welcome everyone to the SoCal Classic Car Podcast. I'm your host, Dean Marash. Today from Florida, we're very fortunate to have a descendant of an automotive legend, Richard Earl, grandson of Harley Earl. Harley was one of America's greatest 20th century designers and engineers who revolutionized the automotive world at General Motors. To carry on that legacy, Richard has spent the last 24 years documenting the story of GM and the American auto world during the mid-20th century. His relationship to his grandfather gives him access to exclusive information and a truly unique perspective. He's a public speaker and an automotive consultant and lives in South Florida. And he also spends a lot of time editing the official HarleyJEarl.com website. Welcome, Richard, to the SoCal Classic Car Podcast.
Hi, Dean. Hi, Jay. I can tell it's going to be a lot of fun. Father, son, Southern California car lovers. It's right up my alley. It's funny, you know, it just brings me back to a lot of people think Harley took the Earl family into the automotive business, but it was actually his late 19th century father, Jacob W. Earl, who established his coach building outfit in 1889 down in Los Angeles on Pico and Main. And this was 7 years before Henry Ford built the quadricycle. So the Earls are actually one of the first families on wheels in America.
Hey, that's one of the reasons why we're talking to you today as well. I had no idea there was this SoCal connection that the Earl family was from the SoCal Los Angeles area. It sounds like your grandfather's father was out there doing a lot of pre-work for your father, your grandfather as well. So very cool. Hey, tell us a little bit about, you know, the great car designs in the last 100 years that your grandfather influenced, designed at General Motors. You know, I don't know which ones were predominantly he influenced, but I assume for many years he was the lead designer and influenced most all of them. But why don't you touch on a few of them?
Well, it's like asking me what my favorite food is. Anyway, to answer your question, Harley went right to work designing for Cadillac and designed the companion car, the 27 LaSalle, which was other brother of the Cadillac. And that became a prominent car design of his, very successful. And of course, you have the Madam X Cadillac. And I just, relating to Cadillac, I love telling this quote because it relates to maybe why Harley's story is not so well known today. He said this in a New York Times article relating to why he was hired in to GM, and his only orders from the CEO at the time, Alfred P. Sloan, said, make these cars to sell. And it's quoted in this newspaper article on Harley back in 56. He says, quote, in doing so, I became the most hated man in the place inside GM because I got into everybody's hair.
And you know, it's funny you mentioned the LaSalle. Okay, so my father, who was the crazy car guy that got me so deep in the car business, if you will, or car weeds, he would always talk about LaSalles. And it's such a generational thing, right? Like, I've seen one or two at a car show over the last 10 years, but I can really appreciate my father's interest. So some of these cars are so rare now you just don't see them, but the designs go on for days. And the LaSalle is just a perfect example of that, right? It somehow gets lost in the weeds.
Well, that's right. But it was a watershed in the automotive industry. At the time, it was the first car ever designed from stem to stern by an industrial automotive designer, which was Harley was the world's first automotive industrial designer. Before he came from Hollywood to Detroit, they were hammering out these cars using wood and metal, and you could probably imagine how much noise that makes and how long and tedious that process is. And he introduced a whole new way of building cars. Of course, it was and they used the math-based engineering. You know, he had a tour through, you know, Harley went to Stanford and studied engineering. And so he was the first artist engineer, which, you know, he went, those guys that hated him perhaps were traditional engineers. They really didn't like the idea of some guy coming from Hollywood that wanted to tell them that he had a new way to build cars. Like, they didn't know how to build cars in Detroit. So right. He was met with that type of mindset.
Right. Well, it sounds like he understood marketing before they started writing marketing books. Sounds like it was a natural marketeer, if you will, in addition to being a great designer and a fantastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. GM didn't have a marketing department back then. And going into the 50s even. And back then, a lot of people have said this. It's not me. I did the firsthand interviews and GM styling, his department was the marketing department.
Exactly. Yeah. So that, you know, that's a topic, you know, all in itself. That's incredible. One thing you almost got close to is, didn't your grandfather, wasn't he the innovator that started to use clay to model and prototype cars? So that was one of the things that you and I briefly touched on when we first started having the conversation. And does it surprise you today that clay is still involved in the design process?
Absolutely not. Truth be told, it's one of the most important steps in making automobiles. That's why, and modern steps, I might add. And it's not some old tech, it's new tech. And when they build cars, they all come together in a department. You know, Harley was the initial head of GM design. And before he did that, there was no design at any car company. So he revolutionized the auto industry. And he was also the world's first automotive clay modeler.
I think his legacy is still in play, not just in the automotive industry, but in these other industries and how new products are rolled out. So it's epic to kind of get back and see the origin of that. Yeah, here at SoCal Classic Car Storage, we've had so many great cars from, I think, your grandfather's design studios, either here currently or have been through here, or we've sold them. And they're just amazing. And the thing that strikes me whenever they're here is, like, we had this 57 Cadillac Brougham. Jason knows this car extremely well. He photographed it for me. And stainless steel door or stainless steel roof, suicide doors, but design elements all over that car, not just the bullet bumpers, but, you know, makeup kits and shot glasses. Anyway, it just, there's design on every panel that you could spend time just admiring or being amazed at. Whereas today, there's nothing on an average car where you stop at any given old panel or fender and say, oh my gosh. So it's just incredible the amount of work and effort that went into that. But since such stark contrast, like I said, to what we see today, you know, what are your thoughts about that? Do you think that artistry is taking a backseat? Is it going to be resurgent at some point? What are your thoughts?
I think a Tesla. When you say that, and how they're you know, it can be design can be a key competitive differentiator. And he personifies Harley Earl-ism in the automotive industry. Harley Earl would be proud of Elon Musk as far as, you know, how he's pushed the, you know, made design so much more relevant, and design and image and their C-level function that need to sit at the table with the senior top executives, you know, just like Harley Earl did with his colleagues back in the day. And like I said, you know, the example of Tesla is the example of Apple and Hyundai and other companies that have applied these, you know, General Motors, Harley Earl principles, you know, in other words, solving problems in a beautiful way.
Yeah. I'll tell you a very brief story. I was in Korea back in the late 90s. And I don't know if you remember Hyundai in their early days, really had a reputation for poor quality. And was kind of a Yugo almost in the United States. People would not even consider buying one. But when I was there, what I saw was a commitment. It was as big as a city. There were 30,000 people working there at that facility at the time. And the scale of the production effort was immense. And now look what they've done come, you know, 20 plus years since then. But you know, what it tells me is that the commitment is measured in decades to get to a point where you begin to have tremendous impact on this industry. And so it really takes that level of, you know, investment and commitment on the part of an organization to go do what your father and grandfather and a lot of his teammates did.
Absolutely. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, his run inside GM along, you know, as we discussed the other day, I like to call these leaders at GM during the mid 20th century the dream team, and they created the largest, most prestigious industrial corporation in the world through design and technology leadership.
Let's fast forward a little bit to say the early 70s. Is that when, and bringing it back to design, is that when designers and their prominence in the automotive industry began to kind of take a backseat to fuel economy or fuel efficiency or cost cutting? I mean, when did this happen? Like you said, we'll talk more about Tesla in a little bit. But there's been a 50-plus year gap or thereabouts of design taking a back seat. Thoughts about what happened? I mean, you're on top of all this history, and you've had a great perspective. What are your thoughts, sir?
I think that it had a tremendous amount to do with the safety-conscious attorney, Ralph Nader, and the trouble that GM got in with him. And a lot of it has to do with, and I actually don't like to talk too much about that, because I boil down on this era that's the inspirational era of winning. It's like a ball team. My team that is the American team during the mid 20th century, particularly General Motors, they knocked it out of the park. With this, call it what you may, I call it an annual popularity contest. And General Motors, you know, won the pennant every year for 30 plus years, actually over 40 years. Gosh, imagine how the players felt when you handed down the reins to the next gen of new hires and younger ones that were like inheriting the purse strings to the largest corporation in the world, or picking up the vehicles, the keys to the vehicle, to the vault. I mean, let's face it, it's called human nature. They're going to get a little complacent and maybe lose their way. And that's all I'm going to say is that, you know, things flex. Sure, the American auto industry did lose its way. General Motors, all of the big three, and the industry went global. And you could look at that. I would say that was a really good thing, because you're talking about the world's most adored consumer product. It's the purchase that's second to a home that everybody that lives on planet Earth that has some money is going to buy, and do it multiple times throughout their life. Where you and I both know, if you buy a house, if you're lucky, you could have one or two, and maybe get in and out of a couple houses in your lifetime. But I'm talking most people, garden variety Americans like you and me. But cars, on the other hand, are these purchases that we're going to make. And things just changed. I don't want to really examine, you know, so many other people have told that story. And I, like I said, I'd rather focus on the positive and not get wrapped up into the negative. And like why things, you know, I mean, let's face it, things definitely changed. But the beautiful thing is, I'm just going to say this, you know, I've got clips of Rick Wagner, who was the CEO of GM at the end of the 1990s. You know, you could see him on Charlie Rose or being interviewed on the nightly news. And the anchors introduce him as the CEO at the largest corporation in the world. And that was uninterrupted from 1931 all the way into the new century. So even though GM was not doing too well and the American auto industry might not have been doing so hot in Detroit, let me tell you, to still remain the largest company in the world and your business has come off for four decades in a row is pretty freaking remarkable.
Hey, Jason, how come our Dodgers can't do anything for 20 or 30 years in a row? Why can't we win the World Series?
Well, lately it's because we face cheaters.
Oh, that's harsh.
Yeah. Are they wearing wires at GM or?
No. You know, let's talk a little bit about who else, and do we see more Elon Musk types taking this huge risk and making this big investment we talked about earlier with Hyundai in the next, decade or two? Because to me, it's the people that are willing to roll the dice, bet everything, and come up with revolutionary designs. And I'll give Chevy some credit, a lot of credit, for that C8 Corvette. We can talk about that as well. But it takes so much momentum. It takes so much courage to go have a significant sea change in design these days. You know, and maybe it's because all the power resides with the financial people or, you know, the fuel efficiency folks or whatever the department that's kind of running these companies. And so I'm just wondering, what are the ingredients that it's going to take? And do we see more of these kinds of C8 Corvette type revolutionary designs on the horizon? Thoughts about that?
You know, car design is the modern soul of America's auto capital. It's, you know, it's also the icing on the cake of Harley's career. And one of the brightest candles is Corvette. And that's an America, you know, I'd say that the Corvette's the most successful car in the American automobile history, because it's been, you know, it was introduced, it was at one of those lavish Motorama shows. It was a concept car for GM. It was introduced at the Motorama in New York City. And the moment people put their eyes on it, you know, there's been just this love affair that's just gone on. And it's such a hot car. It's such a halo car, not only for General Motors, but for the American automobile industry, showing that we can get it right. I think that it kind of shows that we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, I was going to say that the ultimate compliment is when somebody copies you, and Ford really what felt behind the curve, and they obviously needed to come out with a competitive offering, and they launched their T-Bird in 1955. I've got a 1957 T-Bird. But nice. It's clear that this two-seater sports car market, that, you know, Corvette just came out and took everybody by surprise. And, you know, when anybody like your competitor is out there saying, oh, we better have something, that's the ultimate compliment. And the two-seater sports car market, to me, is alive and well in the automotive manufacturing around the world, but certainly in the United States, too, when we look across all of the car companies. And it seems like, to me, that's where the majority of the design influence is tolerated and allowed, right? Whether it's the Challenger, the Demon,
Absolutely. And Corvette, I think it will even be more of a metaphor to you know put a little slice of Corvette in every car GM makes going into the future. I think that it's such a strong brand. Who knows? Maybe we'll see Chevrolet spin out or General Motors spin off a new brand and like Chevrolet and it's the Corvette brand, and there'll be other Corvette offerings.
I wanted to spend, we've got a few more minutes left, but I wanted to spend a little bit of time on this hotly contested discussion that Jay and I have had with our customers and, the car world in general. Is a car an art form? And are they, are they buying art? Is it rolling art? Or what's your take?
It's the largest art market in the world, Dean. There's a lot of jealousy involved when you talk about traditional art forms. And then you talk about the world's most adored consumer product. And if you do your products right, like what GM was doing back in the mid 20th century, every one of the cars that rolls off the assembly line is potentially a work of art. Great cars are art, is really what it comes down to. Now, I'm not going to be the arbiter and sit around and be the critic and say, this is a great car, this is a great production car, this one's not. That's not my job. But to create something that hasn't been done before, tell a story around an individual that created a new form of self-expression. Car design is a profession, and you could go to college and learn it. And if it wasn't for Harley, we wouldn't have these car design departments. In other words, I could go on and on. Harley created the art of making cars.
Well, your grandfather is very fortunate to have you out there caretaking this great American story. It's really what makes our country great, is, a collision of unusual things from what I learned from you today. Hollywood, design, engineering, a flair, and boom, it creates innovation that here we are still talking about it 100 years later. It's amazing. So all I can say is, thank you for taking us on this journey today and joining us on SoCal Classic Car Podcast. I think the podcast of, vehicle is a great way to reach out, to the subsequent generations and continue to tell your grandfather's story. So thanks for being with us today. I'll turn it over to you, Jay.
All right. Well, again, we've had Rick Earl here on the SoCal Classic Car Podcast. Thank you so much, Mr. Earl. Do you got anything else you'd like to add? Anything we may have missed?
Well, I just think that for anybody that wants to learn about the story, just go to harleyjearl.com and you can get plugged in there. We got over 60,000 likes at the Facebook page on Harley Earl. I love automobiles. So, thanks for having me on. I just, talking to individuals like yourselves in the mecca, the car collector car world or the car world, is always it's almost a service or a duty. And I love it.
Yeah. So anyway, so once again, that was Richard Earl. You could go to his Facebook page. You could go to harleyjearl.com. And also, that will do it here for us here at the SoCal Classic Car Podcast. If you like the podcast, make sure to give us a subscribe, either on Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. And also, if you would like to hear more episodes, you can also go to those places, or you can go visit our website at socalcarstorage.com/media. And again, that'll do it here. I am Jay Marash, and you are with us with Dean Marash as well. And that'll do it for us today. Thank you so much for stopping by. And once again, happy driving.